On the Bechdelcast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdelcast.
Hello and welcome to the Bechdelcast. I'm your host, Caitlin Durante. Our other wonderful host, Jamie Loftus, is on her way. She is stuck in traffic. But it pales in comparison to the story about her being trapped on a Greyhound bus. I will let her share that when she gets here, but we wanted to get started so as not to waste the time of our wonderful guest, Jackie Cation. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I can't wait to hear the bus story.
Oh my God, it's terrific. So we are talking about the movie Groundhog Day.
Are we talking about the movie Groundhog Day?
We are.
Could you?
Oh, hello over. And welcome to the Bechdelcast. My name is Caitlin Durante. Your host, Jamie Loftus, is on her way.
That joke is on the table. You couldn't just leave it there. You got to do that joke over. Mm-hmm. You got to do it.
Yep.
What are you made of stone? Nobody.
Yeah. So we are here. What this podcast is about is we talk about the portrayal of female characters in movies.
For or against?
I'm against women being in movies. I hate them.
Right. Dress men up in dresses like Shakespeare
yes, exactly.
did. Why do we bother? Why do we even bother?
Women should be in the kitchen, chained to a wall.
Chained to a Not- wall. With just a leash that can get her to the stove, get her to the fridge, yep. and that is it.
We shouldn't be allowed to learn to read.
And not all the way to the fridge because then they'll get fat. I was talking to somebody last night, and one of my first ever jokes, oh, it's lame, was that men belong in the kitchen, barefoot and erect,
ooh,
with a frisbee on his head, so I can put my beer on his head.
That's very progressive of you.
Wasn't
I love
it?
Yeah,
it's the image doesn't even entirely work because you have to then go, oh, he's kneeling, but some people don't go. It's such a dumb joke. But it was 100 years ago, so it has that advantage that I've written new jokes since then.
My early jokes are also not very good.
Whose are? We did a round robin of our early jokes, and boy, was there some crap being discussed.
Oh, yeah.
It was, yeah.
Well.
But I'm happy to be here, and I love Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
I genuinely.
So, yeah, tell us about when you first saw this movie.
Well, it came out in what, 91?
That sounds right. Oh, 93.
93. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw it. Okay, so I saw it in the theater in 93, and it was a delight.
Yes.
Because it is, who's in it? Who's in it?
Who are the people? Bill Murray.
Yep.
It's, her name is, God, I've already forgotten, Chris Elliott is in it. Oh,
just the men.
Let me pull up.
Welcome to the Bechdel past.
Yep.
We can only remember the men's names. That's a classic problem.
Her character's name is Rita.
Yep.
I don't know why it's. Oh, Andy McDowell.
That's it. It's Andy McDowell. That's right. But I couldn't remember either. So I mocked both
of
us.
We both fail the Bechdel test.
We both failed the Bechdel test. And but the. Yeah, it was. Yeah, Bill Murray and Andy McDowell. And it was. And Dan Aykroyd? No.
Nope.
No, Dan Aykroyd was in something else that year. He was still working in front of the camera, which
sure.
was an error. But and Chris Elliott, who he was one of my favorite characters, that Chris Elliott. Did he just refer to himself in the third? Did he just call himself
just
the talent?
The talent. Oh, yeah. He has some great lines.
He really does. But I saw it in the theater, and I think I saw it more than once in the theater, just because it made me laugh to see it again.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's such it's
oh it's so
because that's the joke.
Yeah.
Yes.
I saw it not in the theater. I would have been probably 7 years old, but I didn't. I saw it not long after that.
Like so you saw it early years.
Yeah, I saw it mid 90s. Yeah, on VHS. My grandma had it, and then my mom bought it eventually, and we had it. The reason for that is that I actually grew up very close to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
And my mom is from there. So that's why my grandma had it, who is like a very ultra-conservative
lady.
Militant Christian woman who I think
she
this
sounds
movie
like
is
a
probably,
fun person to hang out with.
Oh, yep. I haven't spoken
Grumpy
to her
Magoo.
In about a decade.
Yeah, so, probably for the best.
But yeah, this movie, I'm sure, is a bit lost on her, especially because they make fun of like small town culture in it a lot. And she was just like, oh, this movie takes place where I live right now. Oh, how cool.
Well, and luckily, though, is it was, you have that movie. I grew up, the only movies that take place in Wisconsin, there's like frickin' Bird on a Wire, which is a, I think, Goldie Hawn and the guy who hates Jews, a lethal enforcer, lethal weapon.
Oh, Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson. There we go. And the, so Mel, it was, and Goldie Hawn screams through the entire movie. And at one point on Bird on a Wire, they have a chase scene through the Chinatown of Racine, Wisconsin. Let me tell you that that does not exist. There is like one place that has a buffet, and that buffet has pudding.
Oh, yeah.
So that is not.
But I've never seen that movie.
Oh, really? Bird? Yeah. You do not need to. That
all
is not.
Right.
That's
skip
not.
It.
And I like Mel Gibson's movies and Jews together. So and apart. And so. But the, yeah, Bird on a Wire is not a movie that anyone needs to see.
All right, I shall. I shall not.
You know what movie you guys should do though?
What's that?
Pardon me while I totally weed off. Is Private Benjamin.
I've also never seen that movie.
Saving Private Benjamin. That is actually not the name of the movie. Private Benjamin. I wonder about the Bechdel test with Private Benjamin.
The only thing I know about it is what I remember from like the VHS cover of it, because it was always prominently displayed in the video store where I grew up, and I just remember like a woman with long blondish hair.
Goldie Hawn.
Is that? Oh,
yeah.
It's Goldie Hawn. I didn't even know. I didn't recognize her at the time, so I didn't like even make the connection. And I think she might be wearing like
a helmet.
Fatigues and a helmet or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. She's wearing, because she's a socialite. Mm-hmm. Much like Overboard, she is a fancy socialite lady, but who joins the army. And I was going to college when Private Benjamin came out, and my friends and I used to constantly quote the "I want to go shopping, I want to go out to lunch, I want to be normal again" all through Basic. Uh-huh. It was essentially Private Benjamin. I think came out. It was like the riding on the back end coattails of Stripes.
Got it.
So you remember
movie I've never seen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Stripes may or may not. Parts of it hold up. Mm-hmm. Parts of it do not. Harold Ramis, I love you dearly.
Yeah. He directed and co-wrote this movie, Groundhog Day.
Yes, he did. And he did vital work, because this movie is great.
Yes. One of my favorite movies.
And holds up.
Yeah, it really does. Although we'll talk about this later on, but I have some problems with the ending that I didn't have before, only on this like recent revisit.
Only the third time you saw it this week?
Right.
Okay.
I've seen it every day of my life, over and over. I live the same day over and over again.
There's other days that you could be reliving over and over again. Great days.
Yeah.
Great days where you're on a beach somewhere in Tahiti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd have to do that first and then relive
right, and then
it,
relive that, yeah.
Still haven't done that. You said you watch this movie every year, once a year.
Right, at the end of Christmas. It's the last of my Christmas movies.
Oh, nice.
I always watch, it goes from Holiday Inn to Groundhog Day. Holiday Inn is every holiday. Mm-hmm. And now it goes Holiday Inn Deadpool, which is every holiday, all the way to Groundhog Day.
Great.
And so this year was weird because I was traveling so much. I didn't get to watch most of the Christmas movies I'd got to watch because I'd get home and I would just sleep forever. Mm-hmm. So I haven't actually seen Groundhog Day this year. So last time I saw it was 1 year ago.
Oh, wow. Well,
but Groundhog Day is coming up.
It is.
So I can watch
we're
it.
Releasing this episode. Mm-hmm. Wow. We're such genius marketing people.
You guys know how to do it.
Oh,
you guys,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. You don't have a Valentine's Day coming up here? Movie.
Well, I think we're going to do Titanic for Valentine's Day.
Oh, my God. That would involve you watching Titanic.
Oh, I love Titanic. We mention it maybe once an episode on this podcast.
Well,
Jamie,
it's covered now.
Yeah.
It's covered now. Really, Titanic.
Yeah.
You know, I've always had a friend of mine has a great, he makes video games. So if anyone makes this movie, please give all the money to Brian Upton as creator. But this is the greatest TV show idea that I've ever heard, based on Titanic. It would be set on the Titanic. It would be 1 hour long. And every episode, the Titanic sinks. And every episode, you follow a different person or family.
That's great.
Right. And then, much like Groundhog Day, you would see them in the background.
Sure.
And what you could do is every episode could at least have one scene with the band, right? Because the band
tie everything all together.
They tie everything all together, and you're like, hey, that guy died in the last episode. Hey, that woman lived in the last episode, or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So it would be at least how many people were on the Titanic? 1,000?
I think closer to 3,000.
That is 3,000 episodes, yeah. You guys, or 300 episodes, right? If we're talking couples and families.
I would definitely watch.
Oh, I think you would.
Series.
I think you would. But wouldn't it be great? Like, because you would follow somebody and you're like, oh, do they live? And you'll find out at the end.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of every episode, you'd find out whether the people you followed, whether they were dirtbags or they were, you know, hard working in steerage.
Yeah.
Whatever they were doing.
Oh, that's a great idea. I will give them all my money, which is zero.
And Groundhog. Right. And it's Groundhog Day adjacent,
mm-hmm,
as a topic.
Hey, and welcome to the Bechdelcast. This is Caitlin Durante. I'm doing the joke again. We're just reliving.
What's the song? Do you remember what the song was?
Yeah, it's Sonny and Cher, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
There ain't no hill or mountain we can climb.
It's important that I made you sing.
I resent you for it a lot. I have the worst singing voice in the world.
Well,
and also the worst voice, period. I don't know why anyone listens to this. I hate the sound of my
welcome
voice.
Welcome to the podcast where Caitlin does not enjoy her own voice.
No,
but
I
feels a need to speak out loud repeatedly.
Well,
every
I've
week.
Gone back and listened to different episodes, and I'm just like, holy crap, I'm the slowest talker in the world. I use so many vocal fillers. I think I say, okay, so yeah, that whole bit.
I have been mocked openly for here's the thing. Some I got off stage in Australia one time. I've been to Australia. asshole, Jackie. Anyway, so, but I got off stage and one of the women, producer women says, 26 times. You said, here's the thing, 26 times in a 25-minute set. And I was like, wow, that's one more than minutes. And I said, that's a lot of new material. And I say, here's the thing when I'm nervous more than if it's a new joke, I'll swear or say, here's the thing more.
Mm-hmm.
And then because I'm trying to desperately get to the punchline. And so it is filler, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm trying to make better habits. I also do this clicking thing with my mouth a lot. I'm trying to get rid of that. Oh, God. So bear with me, audience of the Bechdel
cast. We're all growing together.
We're growing.
It's beautiful. So
can
we
talk
about the movie without her?
I guess. Yeah. I mean, she'll show up and then
and maybe
I'll
we'll
do
talk
the
about
intro
it again.
Again.
And
yeah.
that'll be funny for all
Whoa.
Of us. Come on.
I grew up in the area, so this movie was a huge part of my life. And
from an early age.
Yeah. And I have seen it probably 25 times and I love it a lot. We usually start off the discussion by me, to everyone's dismay, giving a recap of the story.
Oh, please do. Let me get my soda.
Oh, yes. So get your popcorn, everyone. And buckle in for Caitlin's famous recaps. We meet Bill Murray. He's a weatherman. He has to go to Punxsutawney every year for Groundhog Day to cover the story for that. It's starting off so well so far. And then his producer, this woman named Rita, goes with him, as well as like a cameraman, Larry. And they're all there. And he really hates this town. He hates Punxsutawney. He hates this Groundhog Day tradition. And he gets there and he does it. And everything's fine, except they can't leave because there's a blizzard. So they're stuck there. And then the next morning he wakes up and it's the same day over again. It's Groundhog Day again. And only he is reliving this day and he relives it over and over and over again. And it's really just a story about his sort of personal growth and character arc, about how he starts out being this very mean, total dick, cynical, selfish guy. And he has to learn over the course of the story, he falls in love with Rita and he has to learn that to be able to both get her and then also kind of move on with his life and not have to live Groundhog Day over and over again. He has to grow and become
live in the moment.
Live in the moment. And
he has one day to. If you had one day to live, what would it be? How would you? Would you go rob? Would you sleep with as many people in that town as you could? Somebody interviewed Harold Ramis one time and asked him how many days they thought it took the Bill Murray character to grow. And Harold Ramis said it was over 1,000 days.
Yeah.
1,000 times or something like that. So
that checks out. I've heard different numbers. I've heard someone's like 10,000 years. I'm like, no, way, but it's at least long enough for him to master the piano, which takes a while, and ice sculpting.
Ice sculpture. Have you seen it?
Okay. Aristotle.
Has not seen Groundhog
Day.
Go
outside.
Guess what? February 6th. Why don't you explain for our international listeners what Groundhog Day is?
Many international listeners.
Now's the time.
Shout out to my good friend, British Martha, who is in the UK.
See, you have at least one.
I have at least one. So, hey, Martha. But
yes, explain Groundhog Day to the people.
Groundhog Day is a holiday that takes place in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, every year, where a literal groundhog, which is a giant rat, rodent, squirrel thing, is pulled out of a ground, and if he sees his shadow, that means there's going to be 6 more weeks of winter. If he does not see his shadow,
it's based on this weird old wives' tale or old . I don't know if it's international, if it's worldwide, wherever there are groundhogs, but supposedly it is a future teller of how much more winters there's going to be because of some weird ground squirrel,
as
Bill Murray would say.
A clairvoyant rodent knows whether or not there's an early spring happening. So it's a very dumb holiday. I grew up about 20 miles away from Punxsutawney in a town called Brookville, Pennsylvania.
Go Rockets.
Go.
What was the name of your high school team?
It's much more racist than that. We were the Raiders.
Okay.
And our mascot was like an Indian chief, a Native American chief.
You would have thought they would have been, I mean, Raiders could be anybody, right?
It could be, yeah.
Like they could be pirates or they could be, but they went with the Native American motif of Raider.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting life choice on their part.
Interesting and racist.
Could have been Zorro. Yeah.
I troll them a lot on my high school's Twitter account and they never respond.
Are you muted, do you think?
Maybe.
Because you're not blocked.
I don't even think they understand what they're doing is racist, and is maybe that's what
right.
it is.
Pick a different, like, what's the Oakland Raider logo? Isn't that more of a piratey kind of thing?
Oh, I think so.
Aristotle nodding,
but I'm like
not really knowing either.
Their version of Raider is more like the Redskins, where it's like, oh, look at these raiders and raping and pillager Indians.
Right.
So, yeah, it's very racist, and I don't like that town, and I never go back. But
my sister says that about our town.
Yeah.
She's like, I can't believe you have any nostalgia about this town. Can't you see what this town needs? And I said, what? She said, a propellant, a match. It was like some sort of like a neat Chicago fire is what she wants it to happen. And she says can't you see what this town needs? It's like some sort of propellant and a match.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I pulled up the election results for Jefferson County, Pennsylvania, which is where both Brookville and Punxsutawney are located.
How'd they do? Poorly?
15,000 people /77% voted for Trump.
Okay. 15,000 out of the, 60,000 who live there?
Yeah, I mean, it's very small.
Nice. Nice work, everybody in Pennsylvania who's not voting.
3,600 people voted for Clinton, then mm-hmm. that was only 18%.
And those 77% voted for Trump?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Exactly.
Excellent. Those are the same people who are always complaining whenever there's, a riot in a poor neighborhood. They're like, they're breaking their own stuff. And I'm like, you're breaking America.
Yeah.
Because you got a temper tantrum because you're not being handed 20s under the table. Mm-hmm. Grow up.
Right. So what were we talking about? Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day. There you go. Let's move forward. So that town... Does it look like the town in the movie?
It actually
does. Did they do a nice job?
They don't shoot on location. I think they shot in different small towns in Illinois, I want to say.
Okay.
I think they got a few establishing shots actually in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
But
it's mostly not shot there. But it does resemble it quite a bit. My dentist was in Punxsy. That's what we call it.
Punxsy.
Punxsy.
Yep. Nice. That's what the cool kids call Punxsutawney.
So I went there a couple times a
year
to go to the dentist.
I'll be calling it Punxsy from now
on. Yeah,
Punxsy. Yeah.
That's what the locals call it. So then we jump into a discussion about who the characters are. We've got Rita is the main female character played by Andie MacDowell, whose name we now know.
Now we know it.
Now we know.
And I can forget it later, sadly.
is pretty much the only primary female character, and then we have a few like secondary ones, which are Mrs. Lancaster. She runs the bed and breakfast.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we have her. We have Nancy, who is the woman that Phil Connors, aka Bill Murray, like kind of seduces in a very manipulative way by being like, "Hey, who's your English teacher? Who is? Where'd you go to high school?"
Yeah, he spends a week asking her backstory and then pretending to go to high school with her.
Yeah,
yeah,
and it's very manipulative, but and it doesn't end up working. They like make out a little bit, but then I don't know if they have sex.
They have sex because she makes squirrel noises when she has when she has an orgasm, which means that he does care about the enjoyment of his partner in the sack.
I suppose
that is important. Good. That's the only redeeming quality of Bill Murray at this point in that character.
There's her. There's his piano teacher who gets not very much screen time, and then the waitress at the diner that they.
The tall lady Doris who wants to go to Paris.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
and then we have Phil Connors, aka Bill Murray, is our leading man, and then the other sort of secondary male characters are Larry, aka Chris Elliott, the camera guy,
mm-hmm.
Ned Ryerson,
Ned the Nose, Needle Nose Ned, yep. Ned the Head.
Also Buster Green and his like other Groundhog Day cronies, all those guys who wear the tuxes and pull the groundhog out of the ground and stuff.
Oh, right.
So it's a pretty small cast.
I like those two drunks from the bowling alley.
Oh, one of them is played by Rick Overton, who I had the pleasure of doing a show with recently.
Wait, is that Rick Overton?
Yeah, the guy who plays Ralph, who wants the flapjacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Rick Overton.
Well,
Nope.
I whenever I see Rick Overton, all I can think of is Willow.
Oh, anyway, I didn't see that either.
You never saw Willow?
Never saw
Willow. Use the wand, Willow. Willow, use the wand. Anyway, it's essentially Lord of the Rings done correctly in an hour and a half.
Sounds, yeah.
Because it's Ron Howard. Ron Howard directed it.
Yeah.
And it's craptastic sword and sorcery. It's a sort of a Princess Bride, but...
Hey, listen to that episode of the Bechdel Cast, everyone.
With Princess Bride?
Yeah, we did it.
Oh, you did one?
Yeah, Mike Kaplan was our guest.
You might like Willow, because I'll tell you something. It does pass the Bechdel test. Mm-hmm. Willow does.
Cool.
That's interesting. Or does it? No, maybe not.
Most movies don't. And if they do it like very half-assedly.
Right. All of a sudden, they're talking about lunch or something. Right? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Fair enough.
I have been recommended Willow, though. I think I would like it based on what
I own
people
Willow.
Have told me.
Oh, yeah? People, when Lord of the Rings came out, I was unpopular opinion was that Lord of the Rings was a very, very long version of Willow because
mm-hmm.
people hate Willow, and they're wrong, by the way. Willow is a delight, and the Lord of the Rings is beautiful. But way too long.
It's 9 hours long
and doesn't stay true to the book. So you have to pretend you haven't read the book to enjoy Lord of the Rings.
I do enjoy Lord of the Rings, but I also have not read the book.
Right. As an action movie, it is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
A little long, but excellent.
Yeah.
And as a person who's read the book, it's a different movie. It's a different movie than the book. And you're like, I see what you're doing here. Same with The Hobbit.
Yeah.
So,
The Hobbit, I can't get behind at all.
Oh, I actually...
The movie trilogy that they adapted from a chapter book for kids.
Right. Something that was 8 chapters, they turned into 3 movies. And
yeah.
the last one was a little brutal. Anyway.
Yeah, I didn't care for any of them, really. But,
and because it's Tolkien, doesn't even have a shot at the Bechdel test.
Oh, of course not.
Yeah, there you go.
We have... So those are our characters. So I guess we focus on Rita, who I like Rita. I don't necessarily like Andy McDowell that much. And I think I'm basing this on the fact that I hated 4 Weddings and a Funeral so much.
Oh, yeah, that was not my movie of choice either.
Mm-mm. But
is that Hugh Grant?
Yeah. I think. I don't remember. But
yeah.
I like her, and I like her character in this movie because she's pretty much the only character who's not depicted as being a total fuddy-duddy, apart from Bill Murray.
Watch your language. What do you mean by fuddy-duddy?
Just like a baffling, bumbling buffoon. Ooh, alliteration, baby.
Oh, like an idiot.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, because almost everyone else is.
Is that not what a fuddy-duddy is? What's a fuddy-duddy? Did I use it wrong?
Yeah, I think a fuddy-duddy is more stuffy. As more pompous and kind of self-righteous and fuddy-duddy.
Then I don't know what words are.
But you very easily could be right, and I could be wrong. But I will say this, is that she is not an idiot.
Yeah.
I will say that. Every other character is kind of dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Even the gay waiter.
Yeah.
He literally has one line. He seems to be the smartest second person in that movie.
He did go to Penn State. Hey, baby, I went to Penn State too.
Right. So now that I think about it, he is genuinely the second smartest person in that cast. That's hilarious.
But yeah, she's skeptic. She's smart. She doesn't like take anyone's shit.
She doesn't take anyone's shit, but she has compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, I'm not going to be mean for the sake of being mean, but you also cannot be mean to me.
Yeah.
So she's like a person.
Right.
Everybody else is a little bit of a caricature.
Yeah, totally.
And he's a disaster. The Phil Connors character. That mm-hmm. guy is he deserves 10,000 days of
time he needs to like not be an asshole anymore.
To learn how to not be an asshole.
Yeah, she kind of nails it on the first day, and he's just like, well, I don't know how to be a person in world. So yeah, I didn't necessarily like pay that much attention to her character before this rewatch, but. She's good at her job too. I mean, she's competent producer. She's just a strong, smart.
You could kind of like who wrote it? It wasn't Harold Ramis who wrote it, was it?
Danny Rubin.
Okay,
his like story, and then he has a written by credit as well.
Okay, yeah, because whenever you watch a movie that's written and the main woman character is sort of sane and not shrill mm-hmm. or. She just seemed super competent
mm-hmm.
and yet still attractive and still, you know, all. And Bill Murray making cracks about how, well, you want to be with me, you know, that's what women have to deal with in the workplace where you're just like, oh, the hilarity of we're trying to get some work done over here. Why do you have to mention the fact that we're never going to have sex? Yeah.
That's what kind of bugged me about this movie on this rewatch, about specifically the end, because if you think about it, they spend, as far as she knows, until the very last scene, they spend 2 days together. It's a bunch of different days for him on Groundhog Day, February 2nd.
He gets to know her.
But she still, every single day that they see each other,
is
as far
the first
as she's
day.
Concerned, yeah, it's pretty, because they spend a day, there's day one where they leave Pittsburgh and drive to Punxsutawney. There's day two where they wake up and do the weather broadcast thing. And then so it's that second day where they spend most of the time. But by the end, he's like, I love you. I'm happy. This is the happiest I've ever been. And she's like, I think I'm happy, too. And they she's like totally met him yesterday.
Right.
Still. Yeah, he has spent all this time falling in love with you and getting to know you. But still, you didn't know this guy from Adam yesterday.
It's a clear sign that and this isn't just women, but I think it is a clear sign that people are just drawn to the fact that like, oh my God, this person loves everything about me.
Mm-hmm.
I love me and look how interested they are in me. And so it doesn't actually bode well for her personality either or her character.
Not especially. Mm. But well, they show it. He tries that earlier. She's in his bed and breakfast room. He's like, I've got ice cream on the windowsill. I love you. And she's like, you love me? You don't even know me. And then she slaps him in the face and leaves. It happens again later in the movie. This time it works because he's like, I love you. And she's like, yeah, okay, let's stay the night here. Yeah.
Let's live in Punxy.
That's the one of the last lines in the movie.
Which is the knife in your heart.
Hey, guess who's here?
Hello,
it's Jamie Loftus.
Hello.
Good to see you.
Oh, guys, how's it going?
Hello.
Yeah.
We've been talking about Groundhog Day.
Oh, I thought
hello,
that might
and welcome
be a twist.
To the Bechdel cast.
A twist.
This is.
Yeah. It's like we've actually just been shooting the shit for.
Oh,
for
we a while. Have done some of that. We pretty much just got into talking about Rita.
Oh, Rita. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I love Rita.
Rita's pretty good, right?
Yeah. I was having like a lot of Groundhog Day style thoughts on the way over here. Just like what could I have done differently?
If you had 1,000 days, to learn to play the piano and ice sculpt and
I love the choices
French poetry.
He makes.
Yes,
like you know what? These are the things that I've been wanting to do this whole time.
But they weren't the things he wanted to do. They were the things Rita
wanted for him, or like wanted out of a man, and then he just sort of molded himself into that.
That's true.
Talk about a dream. A dream come true, ladies.
I was like, see, I'm not opposed to that. I'm not opposed to that.
Just having a man change everything about himself to obey your every whim.
Take all the time you need. Text me when you're great at all my interests.
We were just talking about how interested he was in her and how much we love that when someone is interested in us.
My gosh, I love it.
See, I have the more like Groucho Marx approach to romance where I'm like, oh, you like me? You want to be my boyfriend? I would never want to be a boyfriend with someone who would want me as a girlfriend.
Oh, and then you stomp away.
That'll show him.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That doesn't show anybody anything. Let Ben
then
be nice to you.
Just gone. Yeah.
So wait, what were you thinking about on the way over here?
Oh, just different ways that couldn't have happened.
Right, because you were your car's in the shop and you had to take
Well, no, I ended up arguing my way back into getting my car. Back today, because I went to get an oil change and they're like, actually, everything is wrong with it. I was like, well, in that case, I'll just take it back. and then I was waiting, and then the mechanic was like, what are you doing tonight? I was like, I'm going to be in my car far away from here.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. The mechanic
going to
ask you out?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a very smooth transition from me being very frustrated that he still had my car. I'm just like, maybe just stay forever.
Oh, right. God. Like Punxsutawney.
Yeah, you got mm-hmm.
Maybe you were
going
to move to... Maybe you lease first.
It was a very... Yeah. Mm.
What you could have said when he was like, hey, what are you doing tonight? You could still steal Bill Murray's line and just be like, something else. That's what he says to Ned Ryerson.
So smooth.
Yeah. Something else.
I would love to have the confidence to actually flat out say that to someone. Just like, I don't want to hang out.
Mm-mm.
Instead, it's like, let me just be quiet for
You'll
a
get
couple
there.
Months.
You, if I am silent, you will eventually go away.
Exactly. Except the people who don't leave when you're silent, those are the scary ones.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
They're like, I can wait.
Yeah, you got to use your words. Mm-hmm. It's a confrontation is super scary, but eventually you just have to go, I need a raise. And then they look at you. And the first time I ever asked for a raise, my boss said, you're not good at this at all. And I said, it's the first time I'm doing it. It doesn't matter if I'm good at it or not. I need a raise. Mm-hmm. And he was like, wow. And I said, yeah. So how should I have asked? And can I have a raise?
Yeah.
And
did you get it?
I did.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I powered through is what I'm telling you at the age of 19.
I did that once last year. I won't say the name of the employer, but I think you know who it is. I
went Disney.
It was. I used to be the CEO of Disney.
Roy Disney. You asked Roy Disney. You said, I'm going
to
need a golden parachute.
Yeah. And then I went in and I was like, hey, I think that maybe I should get enough money to pay for the place I live in.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't make any eye contact. And I was like, maybe, you know, this is going to sound crazy. And then he looked at it. He made eye contact with me. And he was like, Jamie, come on. And I was like, but here's the thing. I would love to have a home. And he was like, we'll discuss it. And then later on, I got like a Starbucks gift card. It didn't work.
Oh, it did not work.
It did not work.
But the thing is you took the first step.
I did.
Because the next time you go in, make eye contact as hard as it goes. And goes, because when he said, come on, he was essentially saying what my T-shirt boss was saying, which was, you're not good at this at all. And you're like, just go, yeah. I don't have to be good at it. We're doing this.
Right. The conversation has begun.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We're not going to talk about it. We're talking about
it. Just need to summon the strength for a follow-up question.
Or an ultimatum. You know?
I mean,
ultimatums are the worst. I'm so terrible at ultimatums.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to follow through with them.
Yeah.
No. What do you mean, no? I guess I said I would leave.
This could end so poorly for me.
I'm going to need another job before I say I'm going to leave.
We were talking.
I'm
so happy to have you here.
I'm glad I'm here.
We were talking about how partway into the movie, Phil Connors is like, Rita, I love you. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm not falling. You creep. How could you love me? You don't even know who I am. Blah, blah, blah. Did you call my friends and ask them what I like? You weirdo. And
I would argue that that's kind of weird, too, though, to call someone's friends and be like, hey.
That is weird. But that's not what
that's what she called him on.
Right.
But then just an hour later or 10,000 days later.
Yeah.
Time's a construct.
He's like, I love you. And she's like, aww.
And she believes him this time.
Because, yeah. Yes,
that's Caitlin's problem.
He is a better person now. Well, not even that she believes. Well, I mean, again, she met him the day before.
But she did watch him do, like, crazy ass, like, people coming up, and he's got wrestling tickets for the couple.
Yeah, and he played the piano really well.
Right.
See, I don't know. The rules of this movie and, like, how the world works are pretty vague.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. In theory, we're getting the same Rita every day with the same approach to everything. But I could see myself on certain days being told that by an almost complete stranger and being like, gross, I hate it. And then
other days
be like, you know what?
Nice.
That's nice.
Yes.
Like, it just depends what mood you catch me in.
Interesting. I didn't think about that. Yeah. I'm just so cynical that
and
I'm
the pitch.
Like,
yeah, you got
exactly. Yeah, and delivery.
And, yeah, his
he does change it up quite drastically.
Amount. What do you guys think about the injustice of the fact that he learns how to play the piano super well for just $1,000? Like, every day he gives that woman that $1,000, and then at the end of those 10,000 days, he's an amazing pianist. And at the next, when he breaks the curse, he should definitely give her, like, at least five or six more grand.
Yeah, just even though she won't know.
She'll never know.
She's sunk a ton of time into it.
Yeah, she has no idea, though.
She's an amazing teacher.
This is his first lesson. What?
Yeah. He has a gift.
Yeah.
I wish I learned to play the piano.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, you learned the elbow?
Yeah, I've got my elbow in my car right now.
Oh, no kidding.
I just keep it there just in case.
It's a real good embouchure.
It's a great embouchure.
Yeah. It's got those double reed thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I played a clarinet. Poorly.
Oh, I also played the clarinet.
Yeah, and then trumpet when I wanted to be in marching band, and there were too many clarinetists. And I was like, trumpet's shinier anyway.
Another tricky embouchure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You mix it up. Mm-hmm. Mix it up. My sister loved the French horn. She played the French horn. She was a violinist, though. She went violin, viola, and then she went French horn.
And then went
and trombone.
I love
and
that.
And she liked all of the instruments I played, including her own instruments. So I hid in a book. She hid in a pile of instruments in our childhood.
Which is a more effective hiding.
It's louder.
Place. Yeah.
Hers is a lot louder. I always think about my parents encouraging us to have instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who'd encourage their child learn violin, you're like, you got a year and a half of
And you're paying for that.
And you're paying
for that to happen to
you. It feels like good parenting in retrospect.
Yeah.
It's like, that's someone who cares.
Yeah.
Someone who's more patient than I am.
They're volunteer. Yeah, I never practiced my oboe, and I think my parents were, like, kind of grateful.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? There's no way this ends well, so.
But yeah. Music.
Music. Music. The gift of music.
Yeah, and if you're a man and you play music, you're gonna get all the chicks, because chicks love a musician.
Especially if you play the oboe.
Especially, yeah.
Let me say.
Dudes who play oboe?
They get a ton of ass. It's wild. No, I'm kidding. It was just me and two other very quiet girls who played the oboe.
Right. You will date. You will find a nice, if you like a nice quiet girl,
mm-hmm.
play the oboe, young man.
Just, yeah, you'll be sitting right next to them, and mm-hmm. they will be sweating.
They will also need action.
Yes.
Everybody needs love.
They're very horny and quiet.
Quietly wanting.
Yep. A little bit sinister, too. Groundhog Day.
Hello and welcome to the Bechdelcast. I'm your host, Caitlin Durante. I keep doing this joke over and over again.
Love this bit.
Everyone.
It's a hot bit.
Hot bit.
What was I saying?
Should I have said yes to that mechanic? Now I'm having. Okay.
Why not?
Well,
you could have met him somewhere for coffee or something.
That's true. He was being so nice, and I was just like, but what? I gotta go. Yeah.
You could have just said, well, you seem nice. We could meet for coffee and give him your email address.
Yeah.
Instead of your phone number.
Oh.
And then you could, it could be less.
I'll see him tomorrow.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh.
But do you want to go inside Sears? Hang out there?
Inside. There's got to be a Starbucks right by Sears that you could meet.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's sort of like an internet date, but in real life.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
What's happened here is a gentleman who has seen you alive walking around has said, oh, I like whatever this is.
That sounds perverted.
It does seem a little weird at this date, late date. But you could at least talk to him for an hour.
It's true.
You could find out, you're like, this didn't work.
But I bet I would get a discount on my car.
Oh, Well,
it's also true. A business-minded move.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting life choice.
Yeah.
You could find a coupon, a Sears coupon.
Groundhog Day.
I want this to just keep playing over every day. This is the day that I want.
This is the day when she gets hit on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every day she goes and strong arms her way out of the Sears.
Yeah. I want that for you every day.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. How evolved I am. I didn't even need, I want something for someone else. I don't even want something for myself.
That is
nice.
Yeah. You're welcome.
That's so great. Now I'm not going to be put off when you say that you love me.
Oh, Jamie, I love you.
Oh, did that weird you out?
That's nice. Did you just give someone wrestling tickets? If so, that's nice.
Right, and then you the Heimlich maneuvered a dude. Uh-huh.
It would be hard for me to tell someone who had just done a series of pretty kind things
selfless.
To fuck off.
Yeah,
you know.
Sure.
Even
he
if
saves
I wasn't
a boy
interested,
who's falling out of a tree?
He does. Yeah,
she doesn't know about that one though.
She doesn't. She's not even.
She doesn't
there.
Know about
she
the.
Even, that's the. Like the sexiest one.
No, well, and then the old guy with the soup.
Oh, yeah. He tried to save that guy's life.
He tried, and there was as people die sometimes, he was like, not today. No. not this day that I have to relive over and over again.
I will say a few things. Having grown up very close to Punxsie PA, this movie, I think, has more black people in it than the actual town of Punxsutawney. There is an extremely totally,
but no speaking parts.
The nurse at the hospital, I don't know why I need
the hospital people.
Yeah, one of those is a black woman. The bartender at the hotel, I think, is a black man.
Okay. Oh, good.
He says some stuff.
I mean, it was nice that they got the. I mean, that's what I do like about Harold Ramis is that he does pepper all of his movies with a lot of characters so that everybody gets some work. He's like, everyone needs to make scale this year. See if I can help 20 people make scale.
He's doing his part.
He really did his part.
So you've been to Punxsutawney.
Oh, yeah. I grew up 20 miles away from there.
Is it fun?
No.
Okay.
It's a shithole.
Just checking.
Right. She said it's just a pile of Trump supporters.
In a file?
Hopefully.
A little Jenga?
It'd be nice because then we could get a propellant.
Yeah. Or just
possibly
a wrecking ball. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. my dentist was there, so I had to go there.
You have good teeth.
Thank you.
You did a nice job. Nice job.
Yeah. You did well by Punxsutawney. Punxsie
is what they call it. We already talked about Titanic today, Jackie and I.
Right, because that's going to be your next one.
We did not mention anything about steampunk, which is the other thing that gets mentioned.
Well, I was struggling to find steampunk.
There's no
parallels.
Steampunk imagery in this
which
movie.
Which is the mark of a great movie.
Yeah.
No steampunk.
So Jamie, there was no giant typewriter?
There was
this was or possibly a dirigible with somebody wearing a bustle.
just a pile of gears in the...
I have an Amelia Earhart hat that I bought at California Adventure. Yeah.
That's the right place to get it, though. I was in San Francisco over the weekend, and I was triggered by the most flagrant display of steampunk culture I'd ever seen. It was like this street performer, and people were loving it. It was awful. He was like, he had these stilts that he'd made out of accordions, and he was wearing two suede vests and singing a song, and had all these coins that weren't American currency. It was horrible.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I got genuinely upset and circled back around the block, and I was like, he's still there. People are still loving his work. I hate it.
I'm sorry.
What is your love? You have love of steampunk? You have your steampunk snobs? What's happening here?
Deeply triggered by steampunk culture.
I didn't know what it was until I started doing this podcast, and Jamie talked about it every time.
And you have been poisoned.
I'm poisoned. By proxy, hate steampunk culture.
You have never given it a chance. I went to a steampunk festival once.
Sure, I've been to, and almost all conventions, like Comic-Con-y kind of stuff.
There's become a steampunk convention.
Yeah, because people love to wear layers of fake velvet.
Yeah.
And God love them.
There's some feel good.
No, you don't. Here's a book you should never read. The Finishing School, a young adult series by a woman by the name of Gail Carriger. G-A-R-R. It's spelled like Carriger.
Okay.
And it's literally everything. It's like she's taken all the things and put them in a blender and go, will this sell? Yes, it will. And
Gail,
it's the Finishing School series, and there are it's a steampunk world where there are vampires and werewolves.
Ugh.
And yes. And get this. So I read the first one, and I had interviewed her for the Dork Forest, my other podcast, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I said the thing that people have said to me about stand-up comedy, and it isn't cool. And she took it very well, as I have taken it from others. I said, this is better written than it has to be.
Yeah.
Because it could have been poorly written and it would also have sold.
Hmm.
But it's actually very well written.
Oh,
and
man.
Well, and the Finishing School series is better than the adult. There's an adult series set in the same world.
Okay.
I like the young adult world. It has better plot points so far.
Okay.
And there's only four books, and it's lovely.
It's
and
good.
But you would hate it.
I would.
So
I
those,
would probably.
If
hate
anybody's
it.
Fighting the good fight out in Bechdel land,
yeah.
who wants to like steampunk against your wishes?
I would love to really spar with someone who felt strongly about steampunk culture.
I would want to watch that.
I would love to do it. I had another steampunk thought. I'll remember it.
If the Dork Forest were about what you hated, I would have you on to talk about steampunk.
Just to take them down. Oh, I had an idea, but I don't think that I'll ever execute, so I don't mind saying it. I wanted to start, when I do stand-up, just have like a zip tie or two in my back pocket.
Yeah.
And then if I see someone in the audience who's wearing steampunk culture style clothing, just call them up and place them under citizen's arrest and make them just
you could be the citizen's arrest comic.
Yeah, it's like everyone needs to find their thing.
Sure.
I think I'm really finding my voice where I keep placing people under arrest.
Have you ever been placed under citizen's arrest?
No, I saw the manager of a bookstore I worked at attempt to place someone under citizen's arrest and fail to do so.
What was the crime?
Putting records Shoplift? Down his pants.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, you don't have to citizens arrest that person. You can call a cop and arrest that person.
Right, but I guess he called the cops and they were like, "We're not, you know, it's
we're not coming."
Yeah, and the guy seemed like he knew, like they were far away or whatever, and and so my boss was like, "You know what? I'm just gonna do it." And he took a zip tie from the desk and went over and was like, "Sir, I'm placing you under citizens arrest." And long story short, the guy kind of just took the records out of his pants and left.
Hey, it worked, I guess.
Well, at least he didn't. I got a homeless gentleman tried to place me under citizen's arrest.
Whoa.
Place me under. I was ringing a doorbell outside of there was a kitty corner from the Hollywood 101 diner. I don't know if on Franklin.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So there was a woman that I was in an acting class with who I was going to meet. And I was ringing the bell for her, and she answered. And there was a homeless guy who had been following me for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up, and he was like, let me in when she lets you in. And I said, no, I'm very sorry. I can't do that.
Reasonable.
And yeah. And then he started yelling at me, and then he started yelling, citizens arrest, citizens arrest. And then the person from my acting class answered. She was like, hey, Jackie, is that you? Should I let you up? And I said, don't do it. Giant man standing next to me who will come in next to me.
Yeah.
And she was like, what? And then she went away, and I thought, oh, that was my only lifeline.
Yeah.
What have I done? And then all of a sudden, the door guy comes to the door. And so she called downstairs and talked to, like, I don't know, a real person who was like, sir, you can't.
I'm glad everyone was safe.
Yeah, yeah. And then I wasn't killed,
though.
You guys.
Yeah. That would have been truly selfless if you had been killed. You're like, I saved my friend.
I saved my friend. I said, no, you're not going to want to let us both in. You're just gonna
going to want me to go down together.
Right. You're just on the camera, you can watch me be killed by this guy. But I wasn't. So it was all right.
Speaking of being killed, Bill Murray kills himself a bunch of times in this movie.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just trying to get it back
please.
On track.
No, please. Please do. How crazy is that?
Yeah.
And the thing is the first time he did it, right, on the train track, you think to yourself, oh, he's been driven mad by this day.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting how early on, relatively, in like the 1000, like that happens.
How quickly he gave up?
Yeah, like he gave up. I mean, I guess that if you really feel like there's no other option and he doesn't know that within, you know, 80 minutes... his ordeal will be over. Yeah. You might be driven to that. But I the first time I saw it too, I was like, whoa, that's kind of fast. But
well, he's still at this like very, you know, self-loathing, cynical asshole stage in his life. Yeah. It takes him much longer for him to realize that there's more to life than just hating yourself and everything around you.
Like pianos and sculptures. Yeah.
Does Rita ever even talk to another woman?
It does pass
she
the test.
It does, technically.
It's
another one of those by the skin of its teeth kind of passes.
Well, because there's five different women in the cast total, right? If you include the doctor, nurse, lady.
Right.
But they don't really interact with each other at all.
Right, no.
No, barely.
There's a scene where Phil and Rita are in the diner and Doris, the server, comes up and she's like, more coffee, hun? And she's like, and Rita's like, oh, yes, please. Or no, just the check. And then she's like, these sticky buns are heaven.
Oh, like, so they talk about food.
They talk about food. And it technically passes.
Those are my least favorite passes. Because that's like the stock, like, what is the least you could possibly do?
How few words can we say to each other to get these women to pass
these sticky buns are heaven? That's a fun flourish. But it's like the least you could do.
Right.
I always wanted there to be, in the last Avengers movie, Tony Stark's girlfriend and Thor's girlfriend are not at this big party. And that's played by Gwyneth Paltrow and Amidala.
Natalie
Portman. Yeah. So neither of them could obviously be afforded in this gajillion dollar thing. So neither of them are at this meeting.
Yeah.
And Marvel has been doing these one shots, these short things. It would be just awesome if during that party, they did a one-shot where the two of them were – they could just call it the Bechdel test – where the two of them were at dinner going, hey, are you going to that party? No. Well, let's go out to dinner. And then they went out to dinner and talked about science.
That would have been
and
great.
And business because they're like the brains and behind those
totally.
Two guys.
Could have just, gone to a diner and been like, women in STEM. Let's talk about it.
But they never made that one-shot.
Nope, they didn't.
They have dropped the ball. They have missed and they've left money on the table.
And that's the only thing they've ever done wrong. Everything else was great.
Everything else, they nailed it. Stuck the landing.
Yeah.
Let me look through my notes and see what the other things I wanted to talk about. At first, I was like, oh, man, he just keeps being a dick to all these poor small-town lady characters. Mm-hmm. But he actually treats the men and women pretty equally
pretty
shitty.
Bad to everybody, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's just a genuinely bad person.
Mm-hmm. He does call his like co-anchor or whatever at the very beginning hairdo. He's like, all right, hairdo, for your information.
Oh, does he call him a hairdo?
It's a woman.
Because I use the calls her a hairdo.
Her, yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, that's mean.
Is he calling the guys cucks? Did he invent that? No, I'm kidding.
It took me so long to figure out just by hearing that word in context, what it actually meant.
I never got it in context. I had to actually look it up, and I was like, oh, I see what you've done. It still doesn't make any sense. Whatever.
Why does everybody like to say it now? It makes me sad.
I learned what cuckolding was when I watched a documentary about birds. I don't know why that's so hilarious.
Because your life is so exciting. That's why.
You know what I'm going to do tonight?
It was narrated by Richard Attenborough. Or is it David Attenborough? I get them confused.
So does their mom.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a good documentary. It's called Life of Birds.
Moving on. On Netflix?
There's a scene that kind of upset me where it's toward the end at the like bachelor auction at the groundhog dinner.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Chris Elliott is up for being auctioned off and no one wants him except those like old ladies. And she's like, 25 cents. And then he looks to see who won him and it's an old lady. And he's like, oh, gross. Because, you know,
old ladies,
women past a certain age are disgusting.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was a little upsetting.
I have ribbon candy in my vagina now. That's how old I am. It's just old cobwebs and doilies.
That's like instead of counting rings, you're just like, what kind of novelty items are in her vagina?
My vagina is full
Werther's
of ribbon candy.
Yeah.
Why isn't that the name of my next album? My vagina is full of ribbon candy.
It's just a party bag.
Oh, man. I'm going to get off topic again, but there's a joke in Arrested Development where they're talking about a cabin, an old cabin, and Job or someone's like, who would want to go into that musty old claptrap? And they think they're talking about Lucille. Yeah. And he's like, oh, the cabin. Yeah. That's great. There's another scene where toward the end, Rita is in bed with Phil and she's like falling asleep and he's like, it's okay, you can fall asleep. I won't touch you much. And it's pretty rapey.
Really funny. Yeah. Here's the weird thing about rapey comments like that. It's the weird, like when, okay, I'm all married, right? I got a fella. Yeah. It's all nice. So we were dating and then he saw me do a show and he showed up. I was doing a run through. I have no idea why he came to a run through of my solo show in 2003.
He liked me.
And it was this, and it was, it was a half hour and it was the second part of a 3-part solo show I was working on. Mm-hmm. And in 2003, that's when one-person shows were getting really brutal. Everybody had cancer, and they were poignant. But mine was not. But but this was the first draft, so it was a little more poignant than funny. And so he saw this first draft kind of situation. And then he shows up an hour later afterward. Like, essentially, we had drove separately. And then so he shows up at my apartment like an hour later. And he knocks on the door and he goes, I thought I would just leave these flowers. And then I thought, that's weird. Is it weird that I've shown up with the flowers in hand? I would love the show and you were great. And then he gave me these flowers. And I was like, that is so beautiful. But if I didn't like him, I would have thought it was creepy.
Yeah.
So
there's a fine line between. Right.
Well, you have to sort of. And how is a person to know to some extent? Like if you like a guy and you're like, I'm willing to drive drunk for you. And that's not OK.
That's the yardstick.
That's what was my yardstick, sadly. But I mean, so I think she liked him enough it sounds rapey.
Yeah.
Except for that she liked him enough.
Sure.
That she was like, he's not going to touch me. Yeah, he's
joke.
Not really going to be weird and start poking at my bits.
Yeah.
Just because I'm asleep. Because first of all, would wake her.
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I thought it was midnight.
Shows
remember
a
that?
Basic,
oh, yeah.
Like, basic lack of understanding of not just the female body, but bodies in general.
Because whenever you poke anybody when they're sleeping,
they're going to jolt.
You're going to wake that person up.
Oh.
So real fast, it does pass the Bechdel test. There's a couple other scenes where it's, again, super bare minimum. Like the scene where the three old women are in the car and they get a flat tire.
Oh.
And they're like, you totaled it. Oh, it's an earthquake. Whenever he starts like.
But then that thing ends with them talking about him.
Yep. So it passes for a second and then doesn't pass anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then a few scenes where like Phil introduces Rita to someone, another woman, and they say hi to each other. It lasts for a half a second on screen.
But like, feminism.
And then, I also wrote in my notes in all caps, white people dancing so painful. There's a
dance.
God.
There's some really like, bleak dancing.
It's horrendous.
Bleak is such a perfect word.
But yeah, otherwise, I say we rate the movie. We have a rating scale of 0 to 5 nipples. Because we're so
It's a podcast
that is edgy.
Body
forward.
That
is a podcast about women.
Body forward.
Not body backwards.
Body forward.
You guys are in favor of having bodies.
Bodies.
Having
I love having a body.
We're really all about the body agenda.
I was so tired. I hated just being like
out
a
of
cloud
body?
Of like ether. Just like a floating consciousness.
Honestly, though, that does sound like my ideal.
would be nice.
Love to just float.
Yeah, that does sound pretty nice. All right. I give it I love this movie. I think it's terrific. It's so well written. But in terms of its treatment of its female characters, Rita is good and she's a pretty well developed character, but just because she's like the love interest and that's pretty much all she is. And then there's just like not many other women for her to talk to or hang out with. I'm going to give it like a 2, I guess.
Whoa, harsh.
It feels harsh.
It does. I know, because I would like, otherwise I give this movie 5 out of 5 because I love it so much.
Right. Rewatchability, but 5 out of 5.
Totally.
But of its treatment of women, you're probably right with a 2.
Yeah.
Just because he's such a disaster.
He is a mess.
And he's him and the manipulative with the high school lady.
That is very manipulative.
It's creep factor
He
9,
also tries
man.
It or on 11. on Rita for a while.
Right.
That doesn't, I mean, the, yeah, it's.
And who else? Who knows who else he slept through,
right,
like the whole
those
town?
Those are just the things we saw on screen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it 3 because he does end up completely changing himself for a woman.
He does. That, oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
Respect someone's willingness to do that.
Yeah.
That's true. He did put in the time. He could
put
have become, he could have been the devil. He could have spent like 10,000 forever days just deciding that he was going to rape every person in that town.
Whoa.
Or deciding that he was going to kill every person
once. I wonder,
once.
It now has 5 nipples.
Did he only do it out of necessity because he's like, well, I got nothing else to do with my time. I better just become a nice person. Or did he do it because...
I think he actually changed because remember when he was sitting with her and he said, I'm not God, but I'm not the God, I'm a God.
Oh, yeah.
And at that point, you're like, well, you could be a good God or you could be a bad God. And he chose to be a good God.
Yeah. And I think like he was taking enough actual genuine pleasure in the activities he was doing after a while that I was like, oh, it seems like he's actually happy to be there.
Yeah.
So anyways, I would encourage anyone to do that for any
to
of
change
us.
If you're a douchebag guy, change everything about yourself for a woman. Exactly. You can email us at thebechdelcast@gmail.com if you want to go on a date after you've chained yourself.
Yeah, make sure you're totally different from
my shirt. Yeah.
Do not.
Like they're listening to this because they're douchebags.
They're like, wait, I'm bad.
I better fix myself.
This is going to work.
I love this podcast, by the way.
Oh,
I love
so much.
The minutia of a movie. I love the minutia of a movie.
We loved having you. And sorry, Jamie, that you missed about half of it.
I'm sorry that I was.
You can go back and listen to the idea for the Titanic, the TV show.
Oh yeah. You'd love it.
I'm very excited.
Anyway, Jackie, thanks so much for being here.
Do you
have do you want to rate it on a nipple scale?
Yes.
I think I'm going to go 2.5. I chose 2. Sure. You went 3. I'm going to go right in the middle because I'm pandering. No, because I know what you're saying because he did change. Mm-hmm. And yet his initial the treatment of it makes me think that that Harold Ramis is probably and. Wow, nobody wants to hear a middle-aged white lady say this word, is not entirely woke.
Mm.
Yeah.
He's like on his way, but he's not there.
Yeah, not completely. But who amongst us is?
Yeah,
first of all, I use the word woke.
Yeah.
So it's not always an error. Always an error with the co-opting. So
I love it. You hit the K.
Oh, yeah, I hit it. Did you hear the silent I remember most of the 90s when I didn't understand what hood was. Short for neighborhood, it turns out. Hey, Grandma, how's it going? Jeebus.
Well, thanks for being here. Where can people find you online?
Well, people can find me at all the at Jackie Cations in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Cation is spelled Kashian. And then I have 2 podcasts. One is on this very network, the Nerdist Network.
No, we're not on the Nerdist Network. We just reuse this studio. Don't tell anyone. Oh, no. But
Zort. So it's but it's called The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Yeah.
And it's just Laurie Kilmartin and I bitching about stand-up comedy, if you enjoy that.
I highly recommend it. It's such a good podcast.
And then The Dork Forest is on allthingscomedy.com. Their network, and that is Al Madrigal and Bill Burr's podcast network.
Yeah.
And it is I just interview people about what they really, really love. Like today I did an episode with a guy who loves motorcycles.
Hey,
and I don't know anything about motorcycles. My mom was killed on one. She actually fell off and then died.
Wow.
But that was supposed to be a laugh line.
That's an interesting.
It's too soon. Too soon. Possibly too soon. 40 years later. So, but anyway, dorkforest.com or jackiecation.com or familypetancestry.com because it made me laugh.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Well, you can also follow us at Bechdelcast.
You can find me on petfinder.com.
You can look at my profile on Neopets. Do you remember that?
Oh,
Neopets?
Don't even get me started on Neopets.
I better not because we got to go,
I know,
baby.
Sorry.
Also, hello and welcome to the Bechdelcast. This is Caitlin Durante. Nope, sorry that I keep doing that. Okay, bye, everyone.
Bye.